Our services with that prayer of the heart into the Heavenly Father that He would open, continue to open His holy, precious Word unto us. We will pause to hear the recorded Word of God as it is found according to the written in the Scriptures from the first epistle of Peter, from its fifth chapter, its first four verses. And these words are as follows in Jesus' name. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. It is, as I have mentioned, a true joy to be in your midst, to be even served by you. Often the speaker who comes to serve is looked upon to serve. But I must say that by and through your love and your fellowship, I have also been served here. And it belongs unto true joy to be served of you in many ways by simply opening up your hearts to new friendships. I have been in your homes. I've been able to visit with friends of many years past. And it belongs unto true joy that we can share this type of a joy in God's kingdom. And certainly we have been nourished and fed even through the meal which we received here this afternoon, the noon meal. And they nourish us. But we thank the Heavenly Father that He has opened His holy, precious Word unto us, that we have been able to be nourished by it, so that we can say that we are certainly fed. To the point where, like we have heard already, that we can say, as the psalmist has said, that our cup runneth over. And joy has filled our heart. These words came to my mind from Peter's letter into his general epistle here, when he reveals that feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a willing mind, of a ready mind. Often when a speaker comes here to serve, as I have mentioned earlier, we come empty. And often we are beside ourselves, so to speak, when we marvel at how the Word has been opened up unto us. And the souls are fed and nourished by and through that which we have prayed unto the Heavenly Father for. And certainly we have much to thank even today for. The Heavenly Father has truly blessed us. But here the word that Peter speaks is also for those that are among us. the elders which are among you, he says, I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He's writing here unto the elders to feed the flock of God. It is a precious work, is it not, dear brother and sister, that we have been able to benefit thereof or thereby. For when we feed that flock of God, it is the gospel which is distributed. It does not come because of the servant or the teacher or presenter, but it comes from the hand of the Heavenly Father. Many of us serve in various capacities, whether we serve in a position that is seen of many. Maybe we quietly teach in a Sunday school capacity. Or perhaps we are part of the cleanup effort after the services are done. We do so quietly that we may not bring attention unto ourselves. For the attention and the praise belongs unto the Heavenly Father. We are at best nothing. And we agree to the portion of the Scripture that says, I have only done that which was my duty to do. And we find ourselves lacking in that. And how poorly the endeavor has gotten. So that it becomes that food and that service which we render one to another, we also need to partake of that same food. Namely, that gospel which is preached among us. There is not a one here that does not need that gospel. We all need that precious gospel. Even though we sit in this place to serve you, but yet we, as a speaker, are nothing more than one of the fold. And it must remain so. As our brother has spoken here so preciously, how the king Hezekiah needed to be humbled. And he needed to be schooled in that he also needed to be humble and childlike. That he might be preserved, and that he could continue the walk of faith a few more steps with that endeavor to keep faith and a good conscience. From our third verse it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. There is, I'm sure this word is in harmony with the message which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught, and in the way He walked and nourished the flock of God. He said that I must leave the 99 that need no help and must go seek that one that is lost and straying. Though it leads to the valley of the shadow of death and so on, yet he goes willingly to find that lost one that needs the guidance, needs the help, needs the care that the shepherd can afford to that one that is lost and straying. We are set in the midst of God's children and have been given duties to perform, to look after the needs of the flock. And we are obedient unto these words that we would be given a mind to do so. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. To serve with a ready heart and a mind is to not consider the needs of our own self or to be selfish, not for filthy lucre, but rather for the benefit of the flock of God, God's dear children here upon this earth. And there was set even in the midst of the disciples to look after the flock, to feed the flock, to preach the gospel, to be instant in season and out of season, and so forth, that even the smallest and the weakest among us would be nourished and fed. How is it we nourish and feed even in the homes of a believing home? Certainly we are obedient unto the Word of God to raise our children in the nurture and in the care and the admonition of the Lord. But also it goes beyond that, that we would teach our children in the ABCs of living faith. That even in their infancy, we would preach that gospel unto them. And we marvel at the young age that these children seek comfort in that gospel. So that even at their young, tender age, they realize there is peace and security in that gospel. In that gospel, we can be free to preach in our homes. The children need to hear that gospel. Whether they are young or old, we can even be emboldened to preach that gospel to our teenage children who may find it difficult or timid to approach the parent. It gives them an avenue to speak of the way and of the journey. It is a precious work that we do. It is a precious gift that we also can partake of and turn again to the young ones in the home and ask and receive of them. And we too need to receive that gospel. For we have need to cleanse the feet which so quickly become soiled. And it was customary during the time of Jesus to wash the feet of the guests that would come into the home, to make that an offering, that they would be comfortable within the home, that we would ask our guests to come into. And so that it was customary there, and also a picture of the gospel work. When Jesus, at that Last Supper, took a basin of water to cleanse the feet of His disciples, He had to bend low to do that work, so that perhaps His head was much lower than the head of whom He was serving. And this is the humble and lowly way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And perhaps it was Peter who said that, "I don't want or desire to have my Lord and Savior wash my feet." And Jesus revealed unto him that I must needs wash your feet if you are to be part of me. And we know the nature of Peter. He would quickly go from one extreme to the other, for he was a young man. And he said, "Wash not my feet only, but wash my entire body." And Jesus again revealed unto him, "It is sufficient that I would wash your feet, and then you shall be cleansed throughout." here in this travel journey, it is sufficient that we accept that gospel which is for us, that cleanses our heart and our undying soul from defilement. We won't be able to perfect that flesh. It is that which we realize it wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It will be a continual battle. We must be content with this, that when we partake of that gospel, it cleanses us. And we know that, again, tomorrow we may need to partake of that same meal of grace again. And we make steps towards heaven's home this way, step by step, asking as grace beggars and receiving that gospel. And when we receive that gospel, we are assured that, again, we are the children of God. And it is not unto our own glory, but as we read in the last verse of our text here, which we opened up to, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." That gospel which we receive is sufficient to preserve faith and a good conscience. One of the people of the Bible prayed unto the Heavenly Father that, "Father, I ask that you would remove this thorn from my side." But he received this message that, "My grace is sufficient unto thee. Be content with that." And so we are content with that continual receiving of that gospel for the cleansing of our undying souls. And we can continue in life in that way until we receive that crown of glory that fadeth not away. Already we have a bright future. Are we not traveling with our hearts in heaven, but our feet are here upon this earth? It is so for the child of God. Though we experience many blessings of this journey, many joys alike, and the toil as well, we have this opportunity to see, even though through a glass darkly, the brightness and the preciousness of heaven there that is waiting for us. And Jesus has told us that, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you." Recently, we were visiting with a brother here of a certain individual who is having health challenges. And it is that, and his worry was such that he did not worry about the external things of this world. They were neither here nor there. We know that there are many issues of this world that is around us that seem to attract our attention, our thoughts, our worries and doubts as well. But when we are traveling with our hearts already there in heaven, don't these external things and the treasures alike that the enemy of soul tempts us with, aren't they secondary and perhaps even unnecessary? God will bless us with those things which we have need of for this journey, for this life. He has blessed us very richly with a meal of a precious meal. We have just recently received the strengthening of our faith when we partook of communion. The gospel message also gives us strength to continue the battle against that threefold enemy, who is in the form of Satan himself, in the form of the world around us and also our own flesh, that wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. But dear brother and sister, it is a worthwhile endeavor to continue the battle, to seek the walls of Zion whereby we can sharpen our weaponry, so to speak. As Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. We know how dangerous it is for a soldier to be in battle. Many times the danger is very present. And it is the thought of that soldier that is in battle that I must remain living. And there is a great outcry, a great distress even. Perhaps prayers are risen to the Heavenly Father that preserve me even now, or be with me even now, that I may endure this and reach that the end of this warfare. But oftentimes the dangers are not so evident when we journey in faith. As the Scriptures say, we battle against an enemy that is not always like a roaring lion, but is many times in sheep's clothing, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we are able to identify that enemy here in God's kingdom when we can gather together to speak of the way and of the journey, even through that recent presentation which we were able to partake of with discussion. We are able to identify that enemy that it may not win victory over us. God has allowed it to be so. Here in God's kingdom, we can handle the Word of God to uplift weary ones, to sharpen their weaponry, to wash one another with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. And thereby stand, we can stand with patience, with our eyes fixed on that goal which is in heaven. For we truly desire to reach and attain that goal in heaven. And I even encourage you, dear brother and sister, to even now believe recent sins, doubts, trials of the journey forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Be not doubting, but firmly believing. And as we depart from here, we can go to our places of school and places of work with a peaceful heart and conscience, knowing that we are as one of God's own in His kingdom. Thereby we can allow the candlestick of God's kingdom to shine forth into the world that is around us, that they too can see where God's kingdom is, where the shepherd is, can be found here in God's kingdom, here upon this earth. And we wish to do that duty, to be dutiful, mindful of that work that is before us. I recall in one of the older publications of the work that is done in God's kingdom, concerning the work that is done in God's kingdom, it is fine and well that there are articles and publications that are printed from the offices that are available. But we must do that work within those trenches, so to speak, to speak of that treasure, that message, that those two that are in darkness can be partaker of this precious light in this kingdom. We can be ready preachers of the gospel, not only to our own, but to to those that God has led to our company, that we have been able to speak with. Oftentimes our conversation begins with light subjects of weather or work and so on. But we, as children of God, are an example unto the world. They see that there is something different about the child of God. And often that spurs a conversation. What it is that is different about us. Many times they see the works that we have spoken of, how we desire not to partake of the worldly things, movies and television and so on. But we wish to point the way to the freedoms which we experience, not those restricting things. We hope and pray that they would see also the freedom for their undying soul when the chains of sin are broken and released. And they can experience that true joy which you and I experience. Is that not the work that must continue? And we can do that work as God has permitted even now, while the doors of the kingdom of God are yet remain open. And precious is that work. Maybe I mentioned even earlier already that we with joy wait upon those that return from those mission trips there in the faraway lands where Christianity is now found new homes and new hearts. We find much joy in hearing of how they relate of those occurrences, how they have experienced that there's a true hunger for the gospel message, and that they are truly believing, just like you and I. It is marvelous in our sight. And before the Heavenly Father, it is marvelous. And we desire to continue that work. Not for any return for that or reward for filthy lucre, as it says here, but rather that we may one day receive that crown of glory which fadeth not away. We long for that day when we can lay this cross of faith down and receive that crown of glory, and when we can make perfect praise. Not hindered by a wearying body or a tongue that is unable to sing as we would desire to. But rather we will receive a new body and everlasting sight and salvation there. And thus it is worthwhile to remain fast, remain clinging to that gospel which is our source of hope, our salvation, and faith which believes in that gospel. In Jesus' name, Amen.